Let's go to the Lord in prayer for these. Father in heaven, we come before you. And Father, we pray about the future. You told your people in the midst of captivity under a Babylonian, Chaldean, Nebuchadnezzar ruler that you know the plans you have for them. Plans for good and not for evil, to give them a purpose and a hope. And Father, that was in the midst of your working to bring your people back around to where they needed to be, so you could return them to the land and to the brighter testimony that you intended them to be in the world. And speaking to your Old Testament people like that, we have even a more sure word, a greater confidence in the death, resurrection of Jesus Christ, because we have this before you, a standing that is perfected, and you are always working all things together for good. So, Father, in the midst of this, as Dr. Stewart mentioned the COVID and what we're looking forward to there, as we mentioned the individual experiences that people are having, opportunities to serve, to grow, those going to school and having some challenges in school, those taking on new job responsibilities. Father, those who are gaining better vision, we pray that you would sharpen our vision this morning. We pray that you would help us to be looking to you. We pray for those folks who are believers in Mauritania and your work of grace there with them to be bold. And Father, may we carry boldness in our own lives, a boldness that goes to the person of Jesus, that goes to him interactively, individually, that goes to him in regards to speaking and carrying his words with us, that goes to him in shaping our behavior. We pray that in Jesus' name, and God's folks said, amen. So this morning, I'm going to ask you to turn with me to a passage, John chapter 1. And as you're turning there, I want you to note that it is one of the most easy to see distinctions. You know, in our life, we have many, many distinctions that we have to make, that we have to draw. Distinctions like between right and wrong. The posting of a law. Surely a posted law needs to be followed. But isn't it amazing that as you travel, we've traveled down and through Bloomington, and the posting of the law on those little numbers that they put along the road, have you noticed those? Let's see, what's the, oh yeah, speed limit signs. That's the name of them. That's the posting of the law. And surely it's right to do that, but why is it that they change them so suddenly and frequently, and all of a sudden here you are in a 70-mile zone, then you're in a 55 and a 40, not only around Bloomington. Surely that's not right to do that. It's amazing how they do that around the places that I go, like Albany and Bloomington. And they give you 5 miles an hour over anyway, don't they? So surely, questions of right and wrong. You know, we have to make some distinctions sometimes. And especially nowadays with tweets and Twitters that get put out during a national convention and other times too. And what is right and what is wrong with the fake news that we get. What is the news? Interesting times, isn't it? Deciding right and wrong. Of course, that's not the only distinction we have to make. Help or hindrance. Well, I was just trying. I know that you were, but what you're doing is actually getting in the way. You ever heard words like that? Ever had said words like that? Yeah. Help or hindrance, making a distinction. And sometimes we think we're one, but we may be the other, making a distinction. Also, this one, concerning a distinction between pleasant and difficult. This was a walk that Alita and I went on recently, and how pleasant of a walk. This is the river or creek or gully or whatever it is that runs through Clifty Falls, and it's a trail. This is actually a trail. It's Trail 2 at Clifty Falls, and these are very pointed, jagged rocks. And we went on a walk. And so was this walk pleasant or was it difficult? Well, it was miles of this kind of terrain, and it was kind of difficult. But pleasant. Distinction. Making distinctions. One more that I want to give you. This one. Challenging or impossible? I mentioned to someone this morning that I have 16 years of house repairs to catch up on now. And in a process, doing some of these repairs, on Thursday, out in the sun. By the way, I burned the top of my head now. Did you notice? There's not as much protection there that you used to be. Burned the top of my head in making a repair, and I was in the process of doing this, and I almost came to the conclusion that this was an impossible repair to make. Definitely challenging or impossible. We make distinctions. We have many, 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 many distinctions to make. But this is one of the easiest distinctions to make. The distinction between light and dark. And that's exactly the distinction that God uses when he speaks to us in John chapter 1. Since you're there in John chapter 1, we're going to be looking here, John chapter 1, at verses 4 through 13. Now, I want you to note that as we do this, we're still in our series called The Over-the-Top Promises. Only we're making a slight shift this morning in this series. We're shifting from the over-the-top promises of God, which we've been pursuing through the book of James and at several other locations in the scriptures. And we're going to focus now in this shift on the promises of Jesus, the over-the-top promises of Jesus. Now, remember why we're doing this. Matter of fact, I have been amazingly impressed with how many promises there are given to us in the scriptures. Over and over and over and over, there are promises that are poured out to us. And the purpose is that by these promises, we have everything we need for life through these promises of God. Through the exceedingly great and precious promises, we become partakers of the divine nature, reflecting better and better and better and better the characteristics of God himself in this world, escaping the corruption, the decay that's going on in this world, which we can see through human desires. Now, that's what Peter tells us is the good reason for focusing on these promises. We're shifting at this point to the promises that Jesus delivers. Now, some of these promises are ones that he said. And some of these promises are ones that come to us through him. Starting in verse 4 of John 1, we hear this. In him, he speaks in context about Jesus Christ, was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. That was the true light, which coming into the world gives light to everyone. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, that is to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of the blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. There are two promises that we have here this morning. It's the promise about the light. And the point that he makes to us is already you have access to the light. Now, I want you to know that that is true of everyone, whether they are a believer or an unbeliever. They have access to the light. And number two, we have a call to affirm now your access to the right. And the right is what's told us in verse 12. He says at verse 12, to all who received him, to those who believed in the name, he gave the right to become children of God. Yep. Even to those who believe. Our call this morning is going to be to affirm the right, to affirm the right in your life and my life. Now, I want to add this, that we're going to take a look at hopefully a reality and one of the biggest challenges that, not impossible, biggest challenges that I individually have sensed in my life as of recent. Biggest challenge. God intends to light up our life through Christ. You light up my life. There was a song like that. You remember that song? Song by a guy named Joe something. It was sang by Debbie Boone. It was sang by Whitney Houston. It was sang by You Light Up My Life. You, as a matter of fact, I've got the lyrics right here with me. I'm not going to sing them for you this morning. I'm not going to go through that. Yeah, they could. They could. It's another one who didn't make it, right? By the way, when I retired, he brought that up to everybody there. There were no greatest hits. You give me hope. You light up my life. You light up my days and fill my nights with song. You light up my life. You give me hope. God's intent is to light up your life in Christ. It's his intent. As a matter of fact, you and I already have access to that light. But there is an affirmation that's necessary. Right? Is this right in your life? And by the way, I put two punctuation marks here. Because it's a question, and then it's also an emphasis. And that's where the struggle lies. Settling the question initially for some people, and it becoming an emphasis, an exclamation point in our lives. That it is written up. Let me show you what Jesus said. Jesus stated this promise about the light in these words. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness. That should have an in there. But will have the light of life. This is what you will have. Following me will have the light of life. You'll have it. We have access to it. Following me, you will possess it. And the apostle Paul affirmed this agreement with Christ when he said this, for once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. And the challenge, walk as children of light. Walk there. So, having said that, we're going to take a look at having access to the light. We're going to clarify this. You know, that's one thing about light. You really don't need a lot of words to clarify the distinction, right? I mean, just look at the picture up there. What's light? What's dark? When light comes in, dark goes out. Not hard to see. Matter of fact, there are some times in my life when I struggle with the dark because I don't like to turn on lights, especially moving around at night. And so you get up and you take a little journey, and I don't know how many times I've run into things, how many times I've kicked things. And I found out that I'm not alone in this. There was Pastor Byers from Warsaw. No, not Warsaw, Lafayette. Going through the building at Faith because he didn't want to turn the lights on, ends up running smack dab into the pews. Pastor in Muncie, Union Chapel. He even was thinking about putting over the live stream the picture of his toe when he walked through the house in the dark. It's not hard to make this distinction. We see things clearly in light, and in dark, we don't. We already have access to the light. And he's going to tell us about having this access and what this means for us. He does it this way. Through the life that is in him. Look with me at verse 4. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. You know, this thing that John is doing here, in order to capture God's intent for us on this light, life thing, you have to follow the flow. If you begin at verse 1, where does John take us in this flow? He takes us to what he calls the beginning, like in Genesis. Okay, let's go there. You can flip there if you want, or we can talk it through. If you go to Genesis, it says this, in the beginning, God. Say this with me. In the beginning, God. Okay, if you can't say it with me, let's turn there. Okay? So get your Bible and turn there. Genesis chapter 1. It's not hard to find, right? There it is. Yep. It's one of the easiest parts. to find. Also, the book of Revelation, chapter 22, it's very easy to find, both of those. Here, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth? Without form and was void. It was unshaped and unfilled, unshaped, unstocked. It was unformed, unfilled. And let's continue. And darkness was over the face of the deep. So here is this undefined shape of something that evidently was not any recognizable shape, but it had a deep. And the deep had to do with waters. So we've got some kind of an amalgamated mud water ball. No, what? I don't know. That's what we got. Okay? And let's continue. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of these waters. And now I want you to see what happens. Verse 3. And God said, suddenly, whoosh, light is present. And verse 6, God said, and suddenly there is an atmosphere, whoosh, present. And verse 9, and suddenly God says, and the waters and the land are separated. And verse 11, and God said, and life begins to sprout from the land and in the waters. It sprouts. And verse 14, God said, let there be a separation. And suddenly we have this environment that surrounds us. And verse 29, God said, let life swarm. So not only plant life, there's now biological life in the waters and in the heavens, in the sky above. And there's all kinds of creatures. And verse 24, God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures. And suddenly there are cattle and there are beasts and there are animals creeping around all over. And verse 26, God said, let's make seven times over, in the midst of this, there was a word from God. And what comes into existence is everything we know and have here. Life and everything in it. In the beginning was the Word. And God said, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, that is, through the agency of this expressed Word of God. And without Him was not anything made that was made. There's nothing there. And that's when we arrive in that flow to His statement that in Him was life. You know, this world is kind of unique in regards to the way it just teems. It just bubbles over with life. Have you noticed that? Go camping. If you don't notice that, go camping. Okay? We had the girls down for the weekend when we were gone last week, and they were over at the campsite with us, and we had some things, and we threw these plates into the fire ring, and we walked away, and you know, I went back a little bit later, and that plate was just covered with these little bitty ants. that were climbing all over. I mean, a huge number of ants. And you know, there's a lot of creatures you encounter in camping. Some that you don't want to encounter in camping. This life that is here is in Him. Life's a mystery. Do you know that? Even modern science recognizes life as a mystery. Because you can have everything present for a human being. All the enzymes, all the cells, all the organs that make this function. And one moment there's life, and the next there may not be. And everything is still the same. Everything is still the same. Except one thing is gone. And it's life. You know, when I was in college, they made an astounding breakthrough, they thought, because they were able to identify the point in this mystery about life that life departs from the body. And it was huge. It was written up in the paper. They had come up with some kind of meticulous way of measuring and a dilation in the eye that would change and have this particular color that would come on. And they were able, they thought, to determine the exact moment when life was no longer there. There was a slight change in weight and this color change in the eye. But didn't prove true. It was total mystery. I want you to know that mystery is in Him who is the Word, because it's in Him that life comes. And that life, He says, is light to all men. The life in and around us is life, is light to all of us. This mystery about light that Kent State University and other universities all over the world still pursue about this thing of life is light to us. What's it light up? It's light that there is something more. There is something to this picture you haven't yet gotten. There is a light. There is light here. It's something more. And this world teeming with life is the glimpse into the light reflection of another world. There's another world. There's another world concerning this life. But human beings, you know, we are so accustomed to squashing an ant. We're so accustomed to dealing with the roadkill. We have to hold our breath. That life is just kind of part and parcel here. But it's actually extremely amazing. You know, the precariousness of our world with all of its ailments and diseases, COVID and others, and the frailty of this body so susceptible to all of this, it's really quite amazing that anything survives. Now, we have an built-in immune system, but we certainly found recently that it's not totally sufficient. When a new kind of arrangement of a virus comes along. So because of that, this life being a light glimpse of another world kind of it's routine. It's daily. Something we encounter all the time. I looked at all those ants in there thinking, amazing how many got in there. And then I thought about lighting the fire and taking it. Life. So John moves on for us here to another expression of light. His life here is the light. Look at verse 5. This word that we find out, verse 2, is a he from the beginning, and it's the he through whom all things were made and delivered life. This light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The light, the big light glimpse of another world, something beyond us, is his life. His life here. His life here gave us a blast of light concerning another world. As a matter of fact, when Matthew starts his gospel, he says, Zebulun and Naphtali, in you a great light has dawned. And he's talking about the coming of Jesus Christ to that land. This, his life here, is a huge light. It is a huge light indicating to us another world, the glimpse of another world. Now, he's going to take that up a little bit, but the point that I'm making here is you already have access to this light. The light in life that runs around us everywhere, telling us that there's something more than we comprehend of another world. The light of Jesus Christ present here on earth that is known throughout the entire world about who his claim is. That light you already have access to. Now, I want to add this. I want to talk about this light-dark business. Because, like, this is really important here. Indeed, the distinction between light and dark is not hard. We don't need to spend a long time getting it. It stands out to us easily. No words are spoken, yet the light-dark distinction God uses frequently in the Bible. As a matter of fact, one commentator said, in the scriptures, light and darkness are very familiar symbols. The light, he said, refers to what is true, what is real. Let me give an example of this. Sometimes light isn't physical. Sometimes light is something you kind of realize. This week, our daughter-in-law, Dawn, had a birthday, and I'm not going to tell you which one. She won't even tell me which one. So she had a birthday. And so we, with consideration for all of this means, and of course you know that with Isaiah they are on extreme quarantine, and so we went out there with that kind of consideration, and we were out there with them in this. And as we were thinking about doing that, I made the suggestion that maybe we should take lunch and a cake and that kind of thing over to them for this. And my wife said, light, that Dawn's oldest daughter, Sahara, has put together their birthday party, making cupcakes and some other things. So for us to come with a dinner and a bought cake and that kind of thing would kind of... Now, that's light. That's light. It's like, oh, yeah. We don't want to do that. Sometimes light comes in regards to what is opened up to us. An expression in Scripture. The light is the truth of what God tells us. Your word is a light unto my feet and a lamp, or a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. Your commandments are light and instruction is life. God's word to us. I'm going to put these in here because these are the references to the scripture that I'm talking about. In your light, God, we see light. In what he tells us that illuminates, it makes us understand. Now we get the picture. In him was the life, and the light, he says, was the light of men, and the light shined in the darkness. What's the darkness? The darkness is what's not true. Been a lot of circulation about COVID, and one of the things that they told us early on was to be careful that you communicate what's true. Because a whole bunch that went around just wasn't true. And of course, you know that happens with just about every subject. There's information and then there is misinformation. And some of that misinformation in our age is intentional misinformation. And they have an aim, and that is to gain a power, a following, a potency. I'm not going to go through there. We need to avoid that, okay? There is the illustration, though, in that of darkness. Light and darkness. It's information that is contrary to God's truth. That's darkness. Also, darkness is in behavior. Light is in behavior because there is the expression of the light. Jesus came and his life brought light. A way of behaving in life that delivers light. A rescue from our behavior through his death, burial, and resurrection. Our faith in him, this is light. But darkness. Well, here, listen with me. 1 John chapter 1. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. But if we say we walk in the light, yet practice darkness, we lie. And we are not in and about the truth. Do you see there? There is a behavior that comes along with the light. It's a behavior that goes along with God's way. This is called holiness. This is called being separated to God in his way. This is doing it God's way. That's a behavior which is light. And there is darkness also which is going contrary to God's way. Missing the target that he has set for us in behavior. This is called sin. Sin. Light and darkness. Light comes into the world. Yes, light concerning what's true. So we adjust to it. Sahara made all of this, so we need to not, we need to adjust to that. What's true, and then how to behave in accord with God's way. In him was light, and the light of his life, giving the glimpse of the world that's not revealed, that's beyond here, was the light of men. It's the truth. It's the behavior. Now, I want you to see a very interesting thing, because he says here in verse number 5, and the darkness has not overcome it. Do you see that? I want you to note that we have up here a very clear contrast between dark and light, right? There it is. This is the illustration of it. The light shines and we can see clearly. But I want you to notice something, that if I do that, then the light is overcome by the darkness. Darkness is constantly attempting to push out this light of the life of Christ. But they can't. The mystery that there's more to life than what's here goes on. And they can't overcome it. So, having said that, I want to add this. God emphasized the access to the light by sending someone. Look with me at verse number 6. It says this. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, John the baptizer. He came as a witness to bear witness to the light for this purpose, that all men might believe, that all men might come to accept this light of the knowledge of God, God's truth, God's way for life. They may all come to accept that through what John said and did. This is John the baptizer. You can see in verses 19 and following how John the baptizer did this from the beginning. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness to the light. That was the testimony of John. Now, here's the big light. Verse number 9. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. When Jesus Christ came into the world, this light of the knowledge of God was given to everyone. To everyone. You know, there's a great benefit to us in this. I want to talk with you about the biggest struggle. Biggest struggle that I have had as of recent was to bring to my interactions, my talk, the light of God and his way. When Jesus was here, he said, "You are the light of the world. You, as the light of the world, are like a city set on a hill." Have you ever seen the lights of a city in the distance? Have you seen those? Can that city suddenly envelope themselves so that there's no light coming from it? I mean, you could have a blackout, which I guess in California they've been having some troubles with that. But for the most part, the city set on a hill shines, right? So he said, nobody lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. How many of you, when you turn on the light, go and unscrew the light bulb? Anybody do that? Nobody does that. Why not? Problem? Because it doesn't make sense. It's stupid. The light is here to drive out the dark, and if you do that, then the darkness comes in. That doesn't make sense. Yeah, that's stupid. That's the illustration he used. Nobody lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket to cover it up. Then he said this, and this is the biggest struggle. He said, let your light so shine intentionally that others may see your works, what you're doing, and glorify your Father who's in heaven. Now, I want you to know that this challenge of Jesus lighting up your life right is when it shines. And when it shines not just by actions that go along with God's way in circumstances, but with words that kind of support that you're going along with God's way in Jesus Christ. Dr. Stewart last week went through prayer, and he went through that promise in prayer. Great promise there. The week before that, we looked at James, and afterwards, one of the people in the fellowship and I were talking, and they said, I just need to be more out there. Just put it out there more. Why your life is the way it is. First of all, your life is to show light, the light of God's way. And then we're to use words as to what Jesus did for us so that we go God's way. And folks, I want you to know that right now, that is the biggest struggle that I'm having. I need to bring words that talk about Jesus being the light. In this passage, John the Baptizer came to do that. You already have access to light. Now, affirm your right to it. Though the majority of the world does not see this, as a matter of fact, I have the Barna report with me this morning, and it says that in the United States, right now, those who are believers are about 7% of the population. It's an interesting report. I don't want to do that to spend too much time on it, but it's very interesting. There's a lot of people who claim to be Christians, but those who are born again and following this light, having the light of life, are about 7%. Through his own world, majority-wise, they didn't receive Christ. I want you to see this. He came into his world. His world did not know him. They didn't recognize him. He came into his own, the things that he had created. And his own people did not go along. It's not that they didn't know who he was and who he was claiming to be and how he fulfilled the truth of what God said. They just didn't want to go along. That's what it came down to. And then he, however, in doing this, made it possible to become a child of God. A child, as is talked about here, is someone who is genetic material, that's an offspring, in connection with us. We have the material to be the child of God. He gave us the right, and this wasn't by the will of the blood, not of human descent. It's not of the will of the flesh, but it's of God. I want you to know there is great confidence here. Brothers and sisters, we need to stop making idols of our behavior and our actions. And we need to start more progressively to explain what Jesus has done for us. And I want you to know the help to a world that is promoting darkness with information and misinformation and tweets and Twitters and whatever else goes on. I was watching some of the national convention this year, and whoa, some of the impressions that were made, very much contrary. Okay, in a world that's like this, by the way, we have another convention this week, and the same thing will go on, by the way. And in a world that is this way, what we need to do is just walk with Him and talk about Him. And as children of God, we've got the advantage because it's already a done deal. Based on what He's done, I'm a child of God, and nothing can change that. So we just walk with Him and talk of Him. Is that too hard? No, but it's the struggle of my life right now to walk with Him and talk of Him. It's the struggle of my life. You light up my life. We sing that. You light up my life. You are mighty to save. You have this. And now walk in this. You see, this thing is our mission. Should you decide to accept it, you've probably heard that before, your mission is to be the light of the world. A city set on the hill that can't be hidden. So let your light shine that they see it. And we have opportunity to talk about it. The struggle of our life.